Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want, so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
So, what are you thinking for lunch?
I can't. I'm getting new window treatments. So I gotta go home and wait around all afternoon for a design consultation just to get a quote. It's gonna totally mess up my workday.
Why don't you just go to Blinds.com?
Because I need custom products.
Blinds.com products are made to order and totally customizable. And you get upfront pricing right on their website to easily get your quote online.
But I want to see the products in person.
Blinds.com ships samples to you fast and free. They can even verify your measurements and handle the installation.
Wow, how convenient. Tell me more.
Blinds.com also has a huge selection of stylish shutters, shades, curtains, and options for motorization, even for your patio. Plus, their 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Well, you've convinced me. Let's go eat. I've got time now.
Shop Blinds.com and save 45% on selected products. Get 45% off selected products right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
One hour down, three to go. Sometimes I worry about coming off a long weekend or a vacation and then flipping the schedule, but it was all right. I really didn't get the nap that I was hoping to get on Monday evening. I will blame the yard work for that, for interrupting the schedule, but I could not leave it because there was more rain coming, a lot more rain coming. It was so, so, so humid, thick humidity. And right now the radar, at least over northern New Jersey and then on up into parts of central New York, upstate New York, it's green and yellow and red. It's rough. The amount of rain that we've had is really saturating and inundating the ground, but the rivers, the reservoirs, the lakes, the ponds, they needed the extra rain. And I know there are a lot of people in the country that would take the rain. In fact, Bob keeps telling me all the time, two things. We need to build an ark for you in northern New Jersey. And also, can you share some of that rain with us in the Houston area? Because they have not had a whole lot and they desperately do need the rain. Instead of mowing his lawn, he just mows patches of grass now in his yard. Oy. But the rain actually led to some drama at my house over the weekend on Saturday and then into Saturday night. So I went to the beach on Saturday. If you haven't seen the photo of me and my fashion statement at the beach, well, you can check it out on Twitter, A-Law Radio. You'll just have to page down a bit. So I was at the beach. I knew I wasn't going to stay long on the Jersey Shore. I was just north end of the Jersey Shore. It was mostly cloudy and overcast, which is fine with me. It was still warm. I was reading a book. I took some snacks and drinks. I wasn't there for the whole day and wasn't really there about getting a tan. Just needed to breathe for a little bit and take some time away. So I had my book. I was camped out in my chair. It wasn't a busy day at the beach. Generally by noon, the whole beach is covered. It's a sea of not just colors, but umbrellas. but it wasn't like that on Saturday. Well, I have to leave around 1:45 or so. I stayed for 5 hours, got ready to leave, was packing up my stuff, and the lifeguard starts yelling about how everybody out of the water, lightning, lightning. And you look south, and it's clear that the clouds are advancing up the shore. Thick, dark thunderstorm clouds. And so there must have been lightning off in the distance in the south. I was already packing up and on my way out. And so I beat the mass exodus, not to mention the worst of the traffic, though I did run into some pretty bad thunderstorms on the way home. Then, after I get back to my house, we got rain on Saturday night. Okay, that's fine. Whatever. I'm in the house. No biggie. She's been outside. I don't have to worry about taking her out again. I fall asleep around 12:30-ish or so on Saturday night. And I'm fast asleep. And I mean dead to the world. I'm thinking I'm going to be able to sleep until my alarm goes off because I was pretty tired after being outside and some other stuff that I was doing on Saturday. And so in the dead of night, no idea what time it is, I am awakened by my dog panting like she's having a panic attack and pacing back and forth around the bed. I mean, not the like when she's hot. No, I mean. So this is what happens to me. I'm a light sleeper. My dog wakes me up with panting. Not the cracks of thunder we apparently had. I ran into a neighbor who said she was awakened by the cracks, the loud cracks of thunder that were going over our neighborhood at this hour on Saturday night, Saturday overnight, early Sunday morning. No, I'm awakened by the dog. The dog is, she's freaking out. And it has to be really loud for her to hear it because she's mostly deaf. She doesn't respond to storms the way that she did when she was younger. So I don't hear anything other than the dog panting because I have a fan on in my room. And I think, I wonder if she needs to go out. At this point, as I'm getting up and I'm pretty dazed, I'm getting up and realizing that it is raining because I can hear it on the skylight, but it's not raining hard and I didn't see any lightning through that skylight in my bathroom. But I'm worried about the dog now because she won't stop panting and pacing. So I get up, I put on my flip-flops. I forget the fact that I'm just wearing my nightshirt and I go down the stairs. I open up the door to get her out and I realize it is raining. But too late, the dog wants to go out. Too late for me to grab an umbrella as well. I barely had time to grab my flashlight.
We seek no comfort.
It's pitch black outside. No joke. I'm so out of it. Really, and you know how it is when you're awakened and you're still in a stupor, a sleepy stupor, and you're not really thinking about what you're doing. I get the dog downstairs. I go outside. It's raining. I'm just wearing my nightshirt and my flip-flops. Good thing no one was looking out the window, or maybe they were. I have no idea. This is mindful of the time that it was dead of winter, and there was a mouse in my previous house. A mouse in the house, and the cat dropped it next to the bed, but the mouse wasn't dead. So I had to scoop up said mouse. I couldn't put pants on. I was awakened from a nap. I couldn't put pants on because what happened if the mouse started to run away? And so I took the mouse outside and forgot the fact that I wasn't wearing pants. Again, don't know if there are any neighbors looking out the window. Don't tell anyone that story. Actually, I've told it on the radio before. My family thinks it's hysterical that I went outside in the dead of winter. I was so freaked out about the mouse that I didn't even bother to put pants on before I took the mouse outside. Anyway, back to Saturday night / Sunday morning. I forget that I'm not really dressed appropriately for the outdoors. And I walk outside, and here's the thing about my dog. She cannot go to the bathroom within 300 yards of our house. Don't ask me why. The dog has to walk. So it's raining out. It starts to rain harder as we're outside. I'm not dressed for the outdoors. As I say, I'm just wearing a nightshirt and a pair of flip-flops. It's cold outside. Well, at least the rain was cold. And the dog has to walk not one, not two, but three houses. And also, Penny's not fast. She's not trotting. She's plodding because there's thunder. I can hear the thunder now. She's nervous. She's still panting and needs to go to the bathroom, but has to go three houses, essentially half a block, before she will go to the bathroom. Yes, I was soaked, in case you're wondering. So was the dog. I get back inside. To this point, I have not looked at the clock. I realize it's 4:30 a.m. Perfect. So I come back inside into the AC. Now I'm really cold because I'm soaked. The dog is soaked. I have to wipe the dog off. And then she needs a treat, of course, because you go outside at 4:30 in the morning in the pouring down rain. Yes, you deserve a treat. So I'm still wet. My hair is wet. Just stupid. It's 4:30 in the morning, dog.
We got weather.
Yes, we do. And so the dog gets her treat. She has some water. Great. Okay. I plod back upstairs. I have to change clothes because I'm wet And then the dog comes upstairs, still panting, like the world is coming to an end. I'm thinking, there's no way I'm going to be able to sleep with this dog panting still. Okay, so this is crazy. I don't even know if it worked, but I know that I was willing to try anything. I have essential oils that I use. Sometimes they help me to relax because our sleep schedule is crazy, and I don't sleep well during the daytime. So sometimes when I wake up and I get stressed out because I can't get back to sleep, I'll use a couple different essential oils to try to help me relax and breathe and go back to sleep. So I put some of those on, and then I get this bright idea. Maybe I should put the essential oils on the dog.
Oh, I see.
So I put some on my hands, and I start petting the dog. Poor thing. They smell really good. Now she smells really good. She smells like the essential oils that help me go to sleep. I don't know if that's what worked, but I do know that within 2 or 3 minutes, she laid down on the floor. She was still panting, but she got sleepy, and she finally fell asleep. Now, she did wake me up 2 hours later because it was time to get up and get breakfast. But is there a chance, Producer Jay, that the essential oils helped to calm Penny down and get her to go back to sleep?
Can't say for sure, but I'm going to say yes.
You're going to vote yes?
I'm not know for sure, but I'm going to say
that's
yes.
That's my new thing, putting essential oils on my dog. Those things are not cheap, by the way. It's one of my healthy investments because they do actually help me to go to sleep and just to kind of be calm sometimes when I'm not, when I wake up in the middle of the daytime. Maybe they worked on her.
They seem to work pretty well, so.
The dog smelled like cedar wood, but.
I mean, they definitely calmed her at least a little bit to, like, relax, you know?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. All right. Maybe. Okay.
What's in them? What's like the,
I mean, they're different flora and fauna substances, mostly flora.
Does it work on dogs? Do we know?
I have no idea. I've never researched it. I wasn't planning on using my essential oils on Penny.
I'm curious now.
I have put lavender on her before, but again, I have no idea if that worked. So we got back to sleep for a couple hours. That was pretty much it. That was one part of Penny's very traumatic weekend. Would you like to hear the other part? Oh, the other part was far worse. Pen is now fairly close to 14. She'll be 14 in a couple months. And she is a little clumsy. We'll just put it that way. But also, she can be every now and then unsteady on her back legs. And I know any of you who have older dogs, especially older, larger dogs, you recognize they get arthritis, and sometimes you have to be careful of them. I'm very careful of her when I take her out or when she goes up and down the stairs. But give Penny credit. She's a trooper. That dog, at nearly 14 years old, still goes up and down the stairs 3 to 4 times a day. She sleeps up there when I'm not home. Even when I'm gone, like Sunday morning, I went to church. I come home, the dog's upstairs. She takes a long time to get up the stairs because she can only do 1 or 2 steps at a time. But she doesn't like to be downstairs if I'm upstairs. I have briefly considered what happens when the dog can no longer make it upstairs. Does that mean I will have to start sleeping on the couch? That's not a decision that I relish. Maybe I'll hire someone to sleep on the couch with the dog. Just kidding.
Get one of those like stair chairs that will take her up.
Oh, yeah, because I have all kinds of money to be able to put a stair chair in my house. Anyway, so Sunday, I come home from my concert, and the dog is, well, I have to wake her up. She's upstairs sleeping. It's about 11:30. I have to wake her up. I get her downstairs. She goes outside. And I have to move my car. So, of course, once the dog goes out, she has to have a treat. That's the way of things in my house. You go outside, you have to have a treat. So I get her back inside, I give her a treat, and then I go out to move my car because I carpooled with some friends and their car was in my driveway. And so when I pulled back up to the house after the concert, they still had to get out of my driveway. So I left the car on the street for a second, but I didn't want to leave it there overnight. So I'm outside for maybe 30 seconds, not that long. I come back in because Penny doesn't know where I am. She can't hear me. She can't figure out where I am. She is halfway up the stairs because she thinks I've gone upstairs. I can see her. Her ears are perked up. She's looking for me up there. She doesn't know where I am. But she's still just about 6 stairs up. So I reach through the stairwell, not the stairwell, but the banister. I reach through the banister, the slats on the banister, and I poke her. And I'm like, Pen, because she can't hear me. So she turns her head. She gets so excited that she sees me, that I'm there, that she turns too quickly on the stair and she falls. She crashes. I'm not kidding you. I was so, I screamed, and not that she could hear me, and went rushing over. The poor dog, she lost her balance and fell back first down those six stairs and crashed into, I have a coat rack, a metal coat rack at the bottom of my stairs. She crashes into it. It makes this really loud noise. The poor dog is freaked out, of course. She tries to scramble up, but she's in some kind of pain. She's really sore, and she's shaking. I felt so bad. I very rarely see her like that. It's only when she's scared with lightning or fireworks that she shakes like that. And so I'm hugging her, and I'm trying to talk to her, and I'm petting her. But then it's clear that, like I said, she was in pain. She's limping around, and so I felt really bad. I tried to get her to sit down with me. She wouldn't sit down for quite a while. She's panting again. I think my dog's having panic attacks. Anyway, on Monday, she was still really struggling to stand up or sit down, but I think it might just be a sore muscle or a sprain of some sort, because when we walk and her muscles warm up and she insists on walking. At first she was limping, but then by the time we get, I don't know, half a block into our walk, then she's okay. She's not limping anymore. She looks almost normal. If she's still really struggling on Tuesday, I'll have to take her to the vet. But yeah, traumatic weekend for Penny. A thunder and lightning incident at 4:30 in the morning. We go out, we get soaked. And then on Sunday night, she crashes down the stairs. It's my worst nightmare. This is why I'm so careful with her on the stairs. So from now, well, I do this a lot of the time. When she's coming down the stairs, I stand a few stairs below her just to be sure that if she does lose her balance, I can catch her. Or I guess she crashes into me and I hit the floor and she lands on top of me. But I couldn't catch her in time because I was around the other side of the banister. So it's pretty scary for me and traumatic for Penny. And Monday, went up and down the stairs a couple of times, though. Takes her forever, but she still goes up and down the stairs. So she was pretty conked out most of Monday, so I think she was tired.
Oh, man.
I felt like a terrible dog mom on Sunday. I didn't realize she was going to turn that quickly and go falling down the stairs. Ugh.
But you said that she's gone up and down the stairs since, so...
Oh, multiple times, gone up and down the stairs.
Well, I guess that's good.
That night, she went up the stairs again.
So she's not afraid of the area, and she still can move up and down the stairs,
She's a little tentative coming down. I can tell that she's taking a lot longer to come down, and she's really favoring her front left paw. So her front left tire has had a blowout, maybe. I'm not sure. We'll see how much better she is on Tuesday. And then I've got some anti-inflammatory, some supplements I can give her. Poor thing, though. I felt terrible. Oh, my gosh. It scared me.
Yeah,
like, really
imagine.
Scared me. It was a very loud noise, too, in a crash. And then she scared herself. And poor thing. She was shaking. My gosh. It is not easy to take care of a geriatric pet. Sugar's 15. She's 15, and thankfully she's still in relatively good health, but I think she's going senile because she walks around the house and meows weird noises. And I think it's because she doesn't know where I am. I'm not sure. I don't think she's deaf because she still talks back to me when I talk to her. But yeah, how did this happen? I end up with two pets, almost 14 and 15, and... Yeah.
I'd say that means you're a great pet owner because your pets have lived such long lives.
Okay, maybe. I'm not sure I can take credit for it. But I do tell my mom frequently, don't you worry. This is practice for when you get to be old. She doesn't really appreciate that. But I did tell her I'm practicing taking care of old beings, old life partners. I suppose I could tell Bob that too. Don't you worry. When you get old, I'll be able to take care of you.
I got you. I mean, it's good to know.
Yes. Poor Pen. I love that dog so much, but she is a mess sometimes. She really is.
I mean, I can't believe that she's even still going up and down the stairs at her age.
Oh,
you know?
Multiple times a day. She will not stay downstairs. She does not like being downstairs without me. So if nothing else, that dog loves her mama. Loves her mama.
I've met her a couple times now, and she's been spry every time and active and full of energy. I would say so.
Huh. I don't think I'd describe her as spry.
I would. For a 13-and-a-half-year-old dog, I definitely would.
All right.
She moves pretty well for, you know.
You know what people say to humans sometimes? You don't look your age. Wow, I never would have guessed you don't look your age. People actually say that to my dog when we walk around the neighborhood. They'll ask about her. I'll say, yeah, it's my old lady. She's almost 14. She does not look her
That's
age.
That's what I'm saying.
But how does a dog look her age, though?
Because they get, like, kind of frailer. Their bones get frailer. They get skinnier, I feel like, as they get older.
Yeah, not Penny.
No, she looks great.
Penny loves her treats. All right. Thanks for listening to my Penny stories. I feel better now getting that off my chest. It was pretty scary. It was scary in the Lawrence household on Saturday and Sunday.
When you're my age.
When you're my age, you're just trying to help. All right. Let's see. Coming up, we still got a little more baseball to get to. Peyton Manning, he wants to be more like me. Let's just be honest. We've got some of the quarterbacks speaking about their preseason experiences this weekend. So a lot to get to. An update on Brock Purdy. We'll do QB news at the back of the hour. That does not include Peyton Manning, although I guess it still could be QB news. But the NFL world also shaken by a tragic loss on Monday.
Proven Winners Color Choice shrubs are the landscaping plants that have been trialed and tested by expert horticulturists to ensure your success. Whether you're looking for the hottest hydrangea, a reblooming rose, or an elegant evergreen, you can count on the shrubs in the white containers for easy care curb appeal for years to come. There's still plenty of time to improve your landscape this season. So head to your favorite local garden center and ask for Proven Winners Color Choice Flowering Shrubs.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
As well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Collins stays in the backfield. Quick toss to him. He goes left side. Inside the 10. Inside the 5. Touchdown! Seahawks! Around the left end with a good block by Disley, and Alex Collins has returned to Seattle to score 6 with their first opportunity. The Seahawks are on the board, and they lead 6-3.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Maybe you've heard by now the tragic news about the death of Alex Collins. Gosh, this is so hard. Really death of any kind, but when it's sudden like this and it's so unexpected and it's for a young man who still had so much life ahead of him, it seems to hurt in a different way. Alex Collins, 28 years old, died in a motorcycle crash on Sunday night. He was in Lauderdale Lakes, Florida. And so this is Broward County. The sheriff's office released a statement indicating that he was riding his motorcycle and he crashed into an SUV at some point, and that the SUV was making a left turn when the motorcycle that Alex was riding hit the rear passenger side. Really not any more details than that, except that it was sudden, and because he was still traveling at a high enough rate of speed, he was catapulted from the motorcycle into the SUV, like actually went through a window and ended up in the SUV and was pronounced dead at the scene. Still an investigation that's ongoing, but those are the details that were released by the sheriff's department. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. You may have seen some of the tributes on social media. He was drafted by the Seahawks going back to 2016, And I know his agent personally. And she was devastated on Monday. Reached out to her to see how she was doing. She was really close to his family. Had spoken to his mom. I can't even imagine that. After he played for a time with Seattle, he was this incredible revelation for the Baltimore Ravens in 2017, actually led the team in rushing yards, nearly 1,000, had a half dozen touchdowns, and one of the things that Alex was known for in the NFL was his Irish dancing. We had him on the show here, again, because I know his agent personally, we had him on the show back when he was a rookie, and he talked about his love for Irish dancing, and how it actually helped his footwork in the NFL as a running back because he would take Irish dancing lessons and he really enjoyed that type of dance. So he felt like it was an outlet. It was an emotional release for him. He loved the music and the challenge, but also that it was good for him when he was on the football field. So both the Seahawks and the Ravens and many players mourning the loss of Alex on Monday. Russell Wilson called him one of his favorite teammates ever because he spent his last 2 years in the NFL with the Seahawks. He actually, I didn't realize this until I was reading, but he actually was with the Memphis Showboats in the USFL this spring and had a touchdown with them as well. And if you're a college football fan, specifically SEC, you may remember him at Arkansas. He was a 1,000-yard rusher, 20 touchdowns, his junior campaign, I think. But yeah, in touching base with his agent on Monday, just feeling that heaviness because he was a bright light. I don't know what happened with the accident, but he had a great personality. People loved to talk to him. He's just a different kind of spirit and was very connected to the people in his life, even going back to high school and then college and on into the NFL. He had formed a lot of strong ties and strong relationships. And at 28 years old, gone far too soon. Regardless of the circumstances of the accident, gone far too soon. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. This is a completely different type of headline. And so I'm only putting the two together in the same segment because they're both serious, not because one is similar to the other. But if you haven't heard what's going on with Wander Franco. He's the shortstop for the Tampa Bay Rays, who's only 22 years old, but is right now not with the team. So the Rays traveled to San Francisco. He's not with them. And as you can imagine, the team itself is not commenting, only to say that they are investigating social media posts, looking into social media posts, and the league is doing the same. Major League Baseball is doing the same thing. And this is its actual Department of Investigation, so we're talking serious nature. The social media posts seem to indicate that this 22-year-old is in a relationship with a teenager and not 18 or 19, but underage, as in 14, back in the DR where he grew up. So the whether or not the social media posts were intended to expose him or expose the relationship, even the attorney general in the DR is looking into it, according to a statement to the Associated Press. There are investigations regarding that matter. Right now, the Rays are being tight-lipped, as you can imagine, but Major League Baseball has no choice except to investigate. I do not claim to know the law and how it might govern a relationship or how jurisdiction might prevail when it comes to a relationship with a young woman who's outside the country. And young woman is misleading. If in fact she's 14, we're talking about a girl. It's a girl, not a young woman. And initial reactions, as you can imagine, are shock and mortification and all those types of emotions. And in the United States, depending upon the nature of their relationship, there are laws like statutory rape that he would be subject to. Again, I do not know how the laws apply when the girl and the relationship are taking place with someone who's outside the United States. But baseball has to investigate. And by saying that, I'm not telling you it's okay or that I think it's okay, only that I don't presume to know what the laws are and whether or not Wander Franco would be subject to U.S. laws if the girl is outside the United States. So that's my only reason for saying that. A 14-year-old girl should not be in a relationship with a 22-year-old man. That's disturbing at the very least. If this is true, this is social media. Who the heck knows? Well, you know what happens on social media very often. It's certainly not a place where truth prevails. People use it for a lot of sordid reasons. At the very least, baseball and the Rays have to investigate. And so I understand why they've taken this step with Wander Franco. At this point, he's on the restricted list. And he's taking leave from the club. And baseball will have to figure it out. But I'm certain it's extremely uncomfortable for Kevin Cash, for Rays management, for players even. Right now, they just have to wait and see how it plays out. I'm not sure I want to know. I really don't think I want to know at all. But if this is true, and this is an accurate report, or the relationship is being portrayed correctly, then I'm glad authorities are stepping in. So, yes, because sports is a microcosm of the rest of life, it's a microcosm of society, all of these challenges will pop up from time to time, the types of things we deal with in society at large, because still people, just because athletes play their sport at the highest level does not mean they're good people or they make great decisions or they don't screw up. Nah, we know that's not the case. Unfortunately, though, a lot of times they're role models or even idols, heroes, for other people, and it can be devastating when you find out that your hero is flawed. And that's putting it nicely. If in case these allegations are untrue, we just have to wait and see. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. That's our show Twitter, and then our Facebook page as well. We do post the link to our podcast within minutes of the show wrapping up, right after you hear the boom. Oh, I think I was a little off there. Jay, would you like to remind people what it sounds like at the very end of the show? Boom! Yeah, see? Within minutes of that jarring moment, the podcast is available, and we do post the link on Twitter and Facebook every weekday morning, except for the ones where I'm not here, which was Monday morning. All right, coming up, we'll dive into some QB news. We'll get as far as we can until we can get no farther. Looking at week one of the preseason, but also news about Brock Purdy. Dun, 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 dun. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Murray back to throw, and it is. Is it tossed? Oh, my goodness, it's tossed. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Back from under center, steps back, throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp got it. Touchdown, L.A.
Burrow
back to throw. Looking, firing deep for Chase in the end zone. Oh, he's got it! Yes. Touchdown! Joe Burrow and the Bengals.
Mahomes fires for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Kansas City!
And off to Eckler again. No, Herbert keeps it. End zone touchdown! Chargers! Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo! Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Are you stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancial.com. wesleyfinancialgroup.com. That's my faux pas. I apologize. This is our corporate partner. What am I doing? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Before we talk about what happened over the weekend, pretty cool. Another big step forward for Brock Purdy, who has cleared another obstacle as he tries to get back and ready for week one of the NFL season. Remember, when they began training camp, he wasn't allowed to practice 3 days in a row. He had to have built-in off days to make sure that his UCL and his repaired ligament were recovering and responding okay to the practice. Not that quarterbacks get hit in training camp practices because they're wearing red jerseys. But good news, according to Kyle Shanahan, there are no more restrictions. He can, in fact, go as many practices in a row as he needs.
Yeah, that's off, so he'll get to go the 3 practices in a row this week.
Woo! So the offseason elbow surgery, there was a lot of speculation around it, of course, because Purdy got hurt in the NFC Championship after leading the Niners there. You all remember he took over for Jimmy Garoppolo. He was, I emphasize was, Mr. Irrelevant. But now is the starting quarterback for the Niners as long as he can stay healthy. That means he supplanted Trey Lance atop the depth chart. Remember, Trey is coming off the broken ankle, but by all accounts, he's healthy and he feels good. Maybe not quite as good after getting sacked 4 times in their preseason action against the Raiders. Now, Purdy did not play. Lance started. They had multiple 3 and outs. He got sacked 4 times. And did you also see the fact that there were 2 dropped interceptions?
I got to go back and watch the tape. Now I think I have a much better idea. Definitely some good, some bad. But felt good to be back out there. Excited for next week. Continue to get better with these guys.
Were those first 3 series a whirlwind for you, Trey? I mean, they were quick 3 and outs, and you were under pressure basically all 9 snaps.
I mean, it doesn't feel good to go 3 and out, especially to start the game. So that was definitely frustrating, but obviously put it on myself. You continue to be better, make sure the guys around me are ready to go. I'm ready to go. You know, it starts with me, so I put that on myself.
It got off to a rough start for everybody. I mean, with 3 and outs for the whole offense the first 3 times, so I don't put that all on Trey by any means. That the whole offense was sloppy to start.
Yeah, it's kind of rough when you're running for your life, and that's what the preseason is all about. Aside from getting your potential backup starting backup QB injured, you need to get the timing and the rhythm down again. And sometimes that is about the offensive line, the quarterback being in sync, or just about these guys getting hit again for the first time in a long time. And I'm referring not just to the QB, but to the guys in the trenches. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Derek Carr, he usually is fairly optimistic, even when things are going horribly awry. He tries to put on a happy face. Well, he doesn't have to pretend. Definitely jazzed up and full of anticipation as he steps in as the Saints starting QB.
Everything was new. So for me to get out there, more importantly, and play football, you know, in the stadium, this time when it wasn't loud, and we can operate and do those kind of things. It was important to me to do that. It doesn't matter how old I am and how many years I've played in the NFL. It was good. It was a lot of fun. Love being on this side of things in the dome. I can get used to this place. It's a lot of fun.
So Derek Carr was able to get out there, kind of get his feet wet again, especially since with the red jerseys and with the defense that you know very well, it's not an accurate depiction of what's going to happen in your first NFL game of the season.
felt efficient. It was nice to get a couple situations in there and get third down, get some red zone and all that stuff. Because, they don't tell us, like, how much we're going to play and all that. So to get a couple situations in there and then, throughout the game to talk through things with Pete and certain situations and things like that in a game time scenario.
I'm excited to see what he and the Saints do together, even though without Alvin Kamara for a couple of games. I know they're not quite in no man's land, but they've got some moving parts. Michael Thomas, hoping to see him healthy this year as well. Staying in the NFC South, Bryce Young just got hit on an NFL field for the first time.
Football is a physical sport. You're going to get, it's part of the job description, you're going to get hit. That's the game we play. So, it's part of the job. You know that's coming. So can't let that, that's not something I think of. Can't let that affect your decision making or what you're going through. So for me, that's part of the game. It happens. And, I'm just, focused on the next play and trying to make sure I execute every time I get a chance to out there.
The number one overall pick. You'll notice I do not give scores, really don't give stats much for preseason. It's kind of against my religion and it doesn't matter. They just want him to get reps and get out there and get accustomed to the speed. Baker Mayfield, he played the opener for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in his quarterback competition with Kyle Trask.
There was a couple run checks that I definitely could have gotten us into a better play, especially on the short yardage stuff. So that just... we'll watch the tape. We'll get better from it. That's why it's preseason. So, like I said, a lot of things to clean up, but we feel good about where we're at.
I don't even want to speak it, but I will. What if he loses the job to Kyle Trask? Oh.
Don't really care.
What? That's such a lie. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We know you too well now, Baker Mayfield. One more, and this is really not QB news per se, but it does come from the Giants quarterback Daniel Jones, who signed that big contract extension to start the offseason and then watched everything play out with Saquon Barkley in the franchise tag, though he is in the fold. Now, Boomer and Geo do the morning show for our New York affiliate WFAN, and Boomer Esiason was at training camp with the Giants yesterday, asked Daniel Jones if he feels like his contract actually hurt Saquon Barkley.
I understood the situation and that they could only tag, one player, and the other one was going to be, need to figure out a contract or hit free agency. So I understood that part of it, and it's tough as a close friend, as a teammate, and a guy who means a ton to the team. But I'm glad they eventually figured something out. It was a tough situation for him. Certainly feel for him with that, and his approach and how he's handled the whole situation has been extremely impressive, and I have a ton of respect for him.
When Boomer Esiason, a former NFL MVP, guy who's played in a Super Bowl, asks you a question, regardless of where you are in your career, you generally tend to get a more thoughtful and contemplative answer than if someone who never played the game asked you that question. So the fact that Boomer asked him the question on WFAN, our New York affiliate, I'm impressed that Daniel gave him the answer he did. It was a thoughtful answer and had a lot of truth to it. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
The official Winning Time podcast from HBO is back. I'm Rodney Barnes, executive producer on the show.
Magic and the Lakers are back to defend their title.
Join me as I break down each new episode with sports writer Jeff Perlman and the actors, directors, and key collaborators who brought the 1980s Showtime Lakers to life.
It's not about basketball. It's about winning.
Listen to HBO's official Winning Time podcast on Sundays after the show airs on Max.
Hi, this is Shannon Storms-Bedore, Real Housewife of Orange County and entrepreneur. When my company, Real for Real, started selling our health products online, we really struggled to find a way to ship our orders out quickly and without error, until we started using ShipStation. ShipStation's simple dashboard makes it easy to automate shipping tasks and effortlessly manage your orders from every marketplace, including Amazon, Etsy, Shopify, and more. Print shipping labels, easily compare rates and delivery times, and take advantage of discounts up to 84% off USPS and UPS rates. And with enterprise solutions that make warehouse optimization easy, ShipStation scales when your business does. No wonder 98% of companies that stick with ShipStation for a year become customers for life. Spend more time growing your business and start automating shipping tasks with ShipStation. Go to ShipStation.com/audio today and sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com/audio.